honestly to you. I think all of us get so bogged down in what we have going on in our lives that we forget to talk to the Lord about it, even though that should be the first thing on our mind. All right, 31. I have decided to follow Jesus. Spirit and truth, that you would be pleased with what we're doing. We do what we do for your honor and glory and yours alone, for the edification and building up of the saints. And so we pray that you would be pleased with what we do. We pray for Brother Renzi as he teaches and preaches the word today, that you would use him to speak to our hearts. We pray that we would be drawn closer to you by all that's said and done. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. For our announcements, Brother Jim, you want to go ahead and get yours covered?
Pastor Eddie, and basically stating greetings to you, freshly in the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you every day? We're praying for you and your family and your ministry and for your church. We're praying this Savior Jesus Christ to use you in his ministry in more and more fruitful manner. I send an email to you on April 13th. I hope it reached you. Please pray for me and my family and for the ministry of our church. Please pray for my street ministry and for my village ministry. Please pray for my protection. I want your special prayers for my ministry. Please help. Please pray for my health. I am using medicines. I got 50% relief. Please pray for the complete healing. If possible to you, help. Please help me. Please help me $60 extra with your monthly support to face my medical expenses. I must go to the doctor again. And then he also mentions that he had six people that he baptized since the last time he heard from him, and he baptized them in the river. So amen for that. So basically what I'm saying is what I'm bringing forth is he needs $60 extra, well over beyond what we send him. It is $370 a month. He needs $60 extra for some medicines that he needs to he needs to take. So I just remind everybody that if you like to give to that, just put it in the blue box back there under Pastor Eddie. And if you just want to put it in an envelope marking Pastor Eddie medical expenses, just put that in an envelope, stuff that in the box, and we'll take care of that and we'll send it off. Some people might know, remember he used to come here, John Vassell, his wife recently died, and what we decided was we're going to take up a sort of like a love offering collection for him to offset some of his funeral expenses and other expenses that he has occurred. Like I said, he used to be here, attend here, he was a deacon here. I know he was heavily involved in getting the chairs we are now sitting on, these nice blue ones. In order to help him along, we're just asking if you would like to contribute to that, just put it in an envelope, mark it John B., and put it in a brown box in there, and we'll just keep that money separate until we have collected all of it, and we'll just send it out to him. Just want to say that church break, I know we used to have it between 10:30 and 11 o'clock. We're just going to shorten it up for about 20 minutes long. So whatever Sunday school ends, 20 minutes from that time, then first service will start. So we're just going to shorten the time in between, because some of you say that is taking too long in between services. So we just want to shorten it up. Yes?
I have the hours posted on the website, so what do you want me to say in there for people to show up for church? What time?
10:45, the way it was.
Yeah, just go with 10:45, yeah.
Thanks.
Okay, that's all I have. Yes?
How long are you going to be taking that love offering for John Vassell?
Let's say this Sunday, next Sunday.
Okay, thank you.
All right, along that note, There is a card up here on the organ. We will be sending that card out to John Vassell along with the money that we are setting aside for him. So if you would like to write a little note of encouragement to him, that card is over here on the board, so you can take the time to do that in between services or following the morning service if you like. So I didn't get the opportunity to know the Vassells, but I heard so much about them. And not only their association here, but also at Community Baptist. A lot of you know Pastor Smith. And, Pastor Smith has been a good friend of my family for a long time. So we trust that it will be a blessing to him at this time of need. One thing that he did not mention, which I'll mention, is what time we're having the church work day. It's going to be on Saturday, May 20th. Are we calling that, Sam, 9 o'clock in the morning? 9 o'clock?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. 9 o'clock Saturday morning on May 20th, we're going to have a church work day. It's going to be for everybody who wants to come and be a part of it, both men and ladies and children. And we'll have a little bit to eat, you know, donuts and stuff like that. But if you want something to eat before you, more substantial than that, you'll have to get it for yourself before you come or later. So we don't want to have a breakfast here, because if we do that, then the day will be too long. So May 20th, we'll have that church work day at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm guessing we'll probably be here till around noontime or so. Hopefully not too much more than that. So we have a lot of work that needs to be done, and we'll go from there. The special offerings we've already mentioned. Don't forget our normal offerings in the box back there, and for Brother Renzi as well. For us to continue to give as the Lord has prospered us. The Lord has been blessing us, so it's been pretty good. Brother Matt can mention more about this, but don't forget, next Sunday is what we're calling Ordinance Sunday. So if anyone here has been saved, can give a good testimony of that and would like to be baptized, please see Brother Renzi following either Sunday school or the morning service, and we'll be glad to help get that ready so you can be baptized if you would like to. And I think that's all the announcements that I have at the moment. So before we'll do one more song, and that will be from the hymn book. Victory in Jesus, 8:12. Victory in Jesus. 8:12. it's Marge's birthday, so let's sing happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Well, we do have one who's here that's a child for Sunday school, so I trust that we'll have a good time downstairs. All right. Our new memory verse that we're starting today, some of you may know it already, but that's okay. It's still a good verse. Two verses, actually. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's turn there. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Paul wanted to remind the Ephesian church that just like today, trying to work your way into God's favor was very common back then, and has been ever since sin entered into the world. And so Paul was reminding the church at Ephesus that works is not involved in salvation. So Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Starting next week, after you've had some time to work on it, we're going to go back to the old way that we used to do, where several volunteers, if they would like to, can say the verses if they want. And then in our normal other services, we'll just say it together. But for today, we'll just say it together. All right, here we go. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, very good. We're ready for you.
Thank you, Brother. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. If you have a Bible, would you turn, please, to... you could turn to Romans, if you would, chapter number 15, Romans chapter number 15. What I'm doing this morning is what I started last Sunday morning in the morning service. I'm switching that to Sunday school. Okay, we started talking last week about the thought of one another. And so because we finished up Psalm 1, the godly that we were talking about for a few weeks, we're just kind of going to put this in the Sunday school time. As you recall, the church, the local church, is not about one. It's not about one. It's about one another. Amen. And before we look in a moment at Romans 14, let me read for you, and you don't have to turn here, but 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 14 says, "For the body is not one member, but many." Amen. And so that verse right there spells it out. The local church, which this church is, it's not about one person. Amen. It's about everybody. Amen. And that's the important thing, is it not? You know, when you build something around one person, when that one person's gone, what happens? It usually falls apart. Amen. But when a church, well, that one, by the way, as long as the one person's the Lord, we're good. Amen. Because some of you remember the, I don't know if they have too many of them nowadays, but years ago, they would have spoked rims. How many people remember spoked rims on cars? And those rims had all those different wires, you know, but they were all held together by the one thing in the middle, that cap, if you will. And Jesus Christ is the cap that holds all of us together. Amen. And so, but apart from him, not one person should be the preeminent in the church. Amen. We should concern ourselves and we should focus ourselves on one another. Amen. And so that's a great need, no doubt about it. Now, last week we, in the morning service, I started this and I went through just a ton of scriptures, about, the fact that one of the first things, by the way, when you think about the thought one another, if you're a scripture reader, you know in the New Testament, especially in the context of the church, one another is a big theme. Amen. And so taking all the verses that deal with the thought of one another and kind of trying to bring them together and figure out, okay, you know, what goes where, it's not the easiest task. And by the way, it's not the most perfect task. But what I did was, in working with these things, I came up with two basic things that we need to do concerning one another. Now, I know the Bible says there's a lot of things in reference to one another, no doubt about it, but I tried to bring them together and try to categorize them as much as possible to try to simplify it. And if I can do that, I just want to share with you, at least this morning, maybe just the one thing that we need to do to one another, which is one of the general categories. And then there's another one. Maybe we'll do that next week. And we actually talked about this last week. Number one, the first thing, one of the two basic things that we need to do concerning one another is love one another. Matter of fact, that is the biggest thing. Out of all the one another scriptures, there are almost half of them focus on the fact that we need to love one another. In fact, last week, you remember I was preaching and I mentioned 1 John 4:7-8. Remember that? I said, do anybody know that song? And I was surprised you didn't sing that. Did you ever hear it before? And we would sing it forever. You heard it before? We would sing it forever. 1 John 4:7-8 goes like this. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So, beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Did I do good? All right, good. We would sing that. I was checking with my wife, you know. I can't carry a note, but nonetheless, the fact is we sang that. It's good to sing scripture, by the way. You get something like that in your head, you know what I mean? But that's what we need to do. And by the way, it's not the easiest thing to do, brother and sisters. It may be easy with some. Can I get a witness on that one, or am I the only one that has problems? Amen. You know, just by way of review, in John 13 and John 15, Jesus Christ, before leaving this earth, three times emphasized to the disciples, love one another, commanded them, love one another. He knew he was leaving. I mentioned it last week. It's like parents that leave their children that are of a certain age to be by themselves, but yet they're not of an age where you really are comfortable that they're by themselves. Amen. What do? You warn it. You better behave. You better be. Amen. Anybody done that before? Yeah. You better behave. I'm not going to be here. You need to behave. And so there's an emphasis on that. And also the fact is, you know, we may love one another as we in a good measure, but Paul emphasized in 1 Thessalonians 3:4, he said to them, look, I know you love one another, but increase in it. Love one another even more and more. Amen. And so we definitely need to grow in our love for one another. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, he actually prays them. In 1 Thessalonians, he sent that letter asking them to grow. And in 2 Thessalonians, he said, hey, you have grown. And so thank God, amen, that it's possible. No doubt about it. And one of those texts in 1 Thessalonians, I'm not sure exactly which one off the top of my mind, but it says this. Paul said, may the Lord make you to increase in your love one for another. In fact, that verse tells me it takes the Lord to help us to love one another the way we should. Amen. Why? It goes against our nature. Listen, naturally, according to our own nature, we are all selfish, no doubt about it. Amen. And so to love somebody else is to put somebody else before me. Well, you know what? That's not natural. This has got to be something supernatural. It's got to be something that God helps me to do, because I know I can't do it. Amen. And so we need to love one another. Now, in working this and trying to organize this, I'm going to add some things and just take a moment to reiterate something from last week. But here's what I was thinking about in reference to one another. When it comes to loving one another, listen, loving one another includes, and I'm going to give you four things that loving one another includes. Romans 14. One of the first things that I want to focus, I'm sorry, Romans 15, I want you to see. One of the first things I want us to understand about loving one another, according to scriptures, loving one another involves receiving one another. Receiving one another. Loving one another involves receiving one another. I want you to look with me, please, in Romans chapter 15. Would you look at verse number 7, please? Romans chapter 7, chapter 15, verse number 7. The Bible says this, wherefore, what's it say? Receive ye one another. What's it say? As what? As Christ also received what? Us. For what reason? To the glory of God. You and I need to receive one another, especially within the context of each local church. We ought to receive one another. Now, let me say this before we look in a moment at Romans 14. There's two other thoughts about one another that really fall within this category, and I just want to throw them out there. The Bible says four different times, one, two, three, four different times that we ought to greet one another. How many people remember that statement? Greet one another. One term, it doesn't use the word greet. It used the word salute, which is the same thing. Salute one another. Now, listen, the Bible actually commands us to greet one another. Can anybody finish the rest of the verse? With a holy kiss or with a kiss of charity? Now, I believe we can disobey that. Can I get a witness on that one? I actually replaced that with a holy handshake. And if you have a problem with a holy handshake, you know, do an air bump if you want to. But nonetheless, the general thought of the idea is what? Greet one another. Salute one another. Here's another one for you. See, these all fall under this category. Here's another one. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 9. Use hospitality one to another, not grudgingly. Hospitality basically is a friendly reception of somebody. You understand that? So we're talking about receiving people, not just greeting them, you know, hey, how you doing? Not just, you know, matter of fact, in 1 Peter 4:9, it says, use hospitality. It's amazing, and you know this to be true. You can shake somebody's hand and greet them and welcome them and whatever, but in your heart and in your mind and in your life, cut them off right there. It's only the truth. Now, granted, we got to throw some common sense in here, folks. There are some people I do not want to say, how you doing today? Oh, boy. I'm the only bad one here. Well, you got about a half hour. I'm going to tell you about the ache in my toe and the ache in my knee. And the can I get a witness on there? I'm only being honest, amen. Some people, sad to say, even all the suffering's about themselves. Amen? I want the preeminence in this thing, so I'm going to crawl in the church service. Say, why are you crawling? Well, my feet are hurting this morning. Amen? We need to receive one another. Now, let's look at the context of what this receive one another is. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I've kind of just picked out some pivotal verses that I want us to see. Look at Romans 14. See, Romans 15:7, receive one another. Listen, as the Lord received us. Now, here's the wonderful thing. When we got saved, the day we got saved, listen, the Lord received us. Just as I am. Some people got this thing, well, you know, we can't receive you and I can't receive you unless you reach a certain plateau. Amen? How are they going to reach the place where they need to go if you won't receive them where they are? To the glory of God. Receive one another as God received you or Christ received you to the glory of God. Now, the context. Romans 15:7 goes back to Romans 14:1 and on. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 14, if you would, please. Him that is weak in the faith. Weak in the faith. What's it say? Receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Now, there are some that are weak in the faith. In this context, you got Jews and Gentiles. You got Jews that maybe they got saved and then they trust Christ, but they still have this conscience in them that to eat a certain foods is wrong. Now, the scripture says it's not wrong, but they feel that it's wrong. So what are they? They're weak in the faith. They're weak in believing what the Lord said. Am I right on that? So what do we do with somebody that's saved and they have this conscience that was instilled in them from their past? Do you throw them away? No. The strong in the faith, the people who see the scripture plainly and clearly and realize there ain't nothing wrong with it, you got to be patient with this one who actually thinks you're wrong. Amen? Receive those that are weak in the faith. They don't believe you can eat particular meats. In fact, they think you ought to be a vegetarian. Now, if you're a vegetarian, amen. But you can't push that lifestyle on somebody else, especially a meat eater like myself. Amen? Amen? It's the truth. I mean, if you believe something, wonderful. But don't say somebody else is wrong that believes something different than you. And by the way, we're talking in the context of things that are not clearly spelled out in Scripture, gray areas. That's the context of this. Receive those that are weak in the faith. Let me give you some key verses. Look at verse number 2. He says this, "For one believeth that he may eat all things." And Paul said that. God's given us all things to enjoy, right? Another who is what? Weak, he eateth herbs. He eats vegetables. In fact, he's the one that's weak. Verse number 3. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And then it says, let him which eateth not judge him that eateth. Don't despise a brother who says, well, I'm just a very, well, I'm going to have no time for you. And the vegetarian shouldn't say, oh, this guy's so wrong, I judge him. You know, he shouldn't be eating that. We're not talking things that are clear in Scripture, amen, of what is right and what is wrong. We're talking about gray areas, and we're also talking about people's consciences. Amen. That have been trained many times in the wrong way. Now look what it says in verse number 3. For God hath received him. Look at verse number 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? By the way, the person you're judging is the Lord's servant. Right? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Isn't that wonderful? That you may think I'm right about something, wrong about something that's not clear in Scripture, but it doesn't matter what you think in the context of I stand or fall based on what God thinks. Amen? He says in verse number 4, yea, he shall be holding up. God can hold up about it, by the way, for God is able to make him stand. Look at verse number 5. One man esteemeth one day above another. And it's believed that some of the Jewish people, that after they got saved, they still wanted to remember certain holidays within the Jewish calendar. And there's nothing wrong with that. But don't get on the Gentiles that don't recognize that day like you do. Can I get a witness on that one? One man esteemeth one day above another, another man esteemeth every day alike. Let every man, here's a great statement, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. This is not about clearly doctrinal issues. This is about whether this is right or this is wrong. You have to be fully persuaded in your own mind. Why? Because it affects your conscience. If you think something's wrong and you do it, you're going to feel like you sinned. Amen? Verse number 6. He that regardeth the day, regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not and giveth God thanks. Now skip down to verse number 10. By the way, so I'm not going to get in every verse, but here's the issues. You know, in gray matter, well, some people think this is right, and some people think that's wrong. And by the way, that's fine. Keep it to yourself. Watch this now. Look at verse number 10, if you would, please. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? Look at the last statement. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So what does that mean? That means this. In areas of, you know what a lot of people say, and you know this to be true. Well, I wouldn't do that. It's not necessarily unscriptural. It's not necessarily unbiblical. But what do people say? But I wouldn't do that. And here's what I say to them. Good, because you don't have to. Amen. You see, people pick up things through Christianity and through the years, not Bible. And they say, boy, this is the way it ought to be. This is fundamental. And this is, and you do the opposite or you do different. They say, well, I wouldn't do that. But that's good, because you don't have to do that. Amen. Can I get a witness on that one? We're going to stand before the Lord and give an account to him. And by the way, he's the one that matters. Amen. And so you got a lot of people fighting over things that aren't even in the Bible. It's just a matter of what I would do. And you know what? See, most people say, well, what I would do is what others should do. Oh, now you've become the one who determines what should, people should be doing. Amen? This is the boat right here. Let me show you another verse. Skip down to verse number 12, please. So then, every one of us, boy, there it is, personally, individually, shall what? Give an account of himself to God. Amen? Look at verse number 13a. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Again, in the context of what? Gray matters, gray areas. Hey, listen, there are people that do not believe, and you may be here this morning, I don't know this, but there are people who don't believe you should drink coffee. Lester Olof was one of the, you know, great fundamentalist leaders, and he was very, very strict in his diet, and to drink coffee was definitely wrong. I mean, by the way, the Mormons believe that too. I mean, what I'm saying is there may be Christians within a congregation who believe you should not drink coffee because the caffeine may, you know, affect your whatever. You understand what I'm saying, Dan? Now, I personally believe coffee is the holy bean. Now, I'm sorry if you... All right, obviously, we don't have anybody in here to do. What do you do if somebody, you take somebody out and they say, well, I don't believe drinking coffee. You know what I would do in a restaurant if I took somebody out and they said, I don't really believe? I would not drink coffee. I'm not going to stop drinking coffee in my life. But I, for that brother, I would say, you know what? I can do that. I'm not trying to offend somebody on purpose. Now, that brother shouldn't dare sit there and say, well, do you drink coffee at home? Well, let me tell you, brother, now get on me. Can I get a witness? If you believe that's wrong, keep it to yourself. Unless you got, but here's the, can I tell you the big problem? I've been around just for a little bit in Christianity, and one of the things I've learned, here's the biggest problem. We're talking about things that are supposed to be gray areas, correct? You know what the problem is? To the people who sternly believe some of these things, to them it's not gray. To them, it's plain black and white. That's the problem. You know what I mean? If it was gray area and they knew it, then they wouldn't bother you with it. Amen? And so on. Listen, how in the world are we going to get along with one another when we all have different ideas about things? Not talking scripture. Hey, when it comes to the major doctrines and fundamentals of the scripture, we're together on that. But when it comes to, well, you know, I don't think a Christian should have a TV in their home. And you may believe that, and that's fine. Then don't get one. That's fine. But don't go telling somebody else to have, well, you're wrong, because that's a one-eyed demon. From what I heard. Can I get a witness on that one? There are personal, private issues that's not clearly spelled out. Listen, a TV is all moral. You say, what does all moral mean? It means no moral. There's nothing. This piano is all moral. It's not right or wrong. What you do with it makes it right or wrong. You get up here and you start playing, roll out the barrel. I had to use that on some elderly people here. No, I'm saying, you get up here and you start playing certain things and the leg goes too fast for that's sin. Amen. I'm teasing, by the way. You know what I'm saying. You get up here and you start playing Stairway to Heaven. You know what I mean? Led Zeppelin or something like that. On it. What happened? Now this thing became immoral. You get up here and you start playing the good godly hymns. Now it's moral. But by itself, it's what you do with it. You, there are people that don't believe you ought to have music in the church. No instruments. Well, that's what I'm saying to you. By the way, I don't know how in the world. To me, I don't see that as black and white. But nonetheless, I do not on purpose try to offend somebody if I find out that they believe this or the other thing. I don't do that. Amen? That's not the goal in life. Listen. Let me, by way of testimony, when I first came here, you know, when I met Pastor Gary, when I came here, you know, he sent me the paper that he sends out to preachers before they come preach. He wanted me to come preach here. You know what I mean? And he sent me the paper and said, look, here's where we stand on certain things. Now, some things, you know, he wanted to make sure you stand on this about the King James and this, and then here's some things we do and don't do. And you know what? I don't agree with all that. I personally don't. And guess what? He knows that, and now you do. Now, I'm not talking about King James and so on. You understand that, right? But you know what I do not do? I do not, the best I can, I keep in my mind, if this is where they stand on certain things, I try to make sure that I try not to say anything that would lean toward any of that. And I've been afraid, there have been times I almost said something that I just, you know, not that it would have been major, like, oh boy, oh my goodness, what's he doing here? But I just almost said something that then hit me. I'm like, what am I trying to do? I respect that. Hey, Do you know, I don't go to anybody else and say, let me tell you, do any of these people believe? Why? Because, listen, I understand the liberty. I understand the liberty. It's not major doctrinal issues. I understand. If you believe that, amen, praise God. God bless you, brother. And if I can, hey, by the way, if I can preach and teach and be a blessing without even any of that being involved, guess what? We have differences, but I was able to minister to you, hopefully. So what are you saying? In the very context here, receive one another. You got differences that don't make no difference. Boy, that's a good one there. Differences that don't make no difference. If you're going to let that difference keep you from teaching and preaching and ministering, can I get a witness on that or no? Look at verse number 22. Verse number 20. See, we have to receive one another. Not to fighting. Not to fighting. Amen. You never want to take somebody out to lunch to fight with them over some gray area. It's not good. They might order a lot more or lobster and stuff like that. You know, you want to fight over something? Fight over the bill. Now, look at verse number 22. Romans 14, verse number 22. Hast thou faith? Now, what are you saying here? Your faith is what you believe. What you believe. Now, what he's talking about the gray areas of life. If you believe something, here's what he says. Look at verse number 22. Hast thou faith? What's the next statement? Have it to thyself before God. If you believe something that's a gray area, you say, this is my personal belief. As a matter of fact, I like that term. This is my personal belief. Do you know what that tells me? If it's personal, you know, if the Lord allows you to share it, but don't push it. That's why you say, this is my personal belief. Now listen, a lot of people have a personal belief. And I know Pastor Gary had one, like if a restaurant sold alcohol, he wouldn't go. And there's a lot of people that hold to that. No doubt about it. And then there's a lot of people that don't. There's a lot of people that live down south that say, but if I made that a rule and regulation, I wouldn't be able to live. I couldn't buy gas at the gas stations that sell alcohol. I couldn't, you know, go to the grocery stores because now they're all selling. Can I get a witness on that one? Well, but what I'm saying is, if you hold a particular, amen. But never fight over it. Never argue over it. Why? You know what? I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account of my opinions. And somebody stand before the Lord, give an account of their opinions. He'll be the judge. He's a better one anyway. Amen. He's a better one. Look at verse number 22. He's going, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before who? Before God. Amen. And I'll leave off on that verse right there. But you and I, we need to love one another. And listen, loving one another is a matter of receiving one another. Greeting one another with a holy handshake, if you will. Amen. Using hospitality one toward another. We'll never be able to help another person if we can't receive them where they are. Especially those that are what? Weak in the faith. See, that tells me if they're weak in the faith, they can actually grow to become what? Look at chapter 15, verse number 1. In fact, we're only going to finish one point this morning, but that's okay as long as we get the point. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 15. Look at verse 1. After talking about chapter 14, and really, to be honest with you, the emphasis was on, you know, put up with those that are weak in the faith. They haven't really matured and developed and grown from the scriptures yet to understand what they actually can do, the liberty they can have, and so on. But look at verse number 1 of chapter 15. We then that are what? Strong. We who know what we believe and are clear on it, if you will, ought to what? Bear the infirmities of the weak. Boy, bear the infirmities of the weak. What does that mean? Well, in essence, put up with. Put up with. And not to what? Please ourselves. Listen, them that are weak in the faith, we got to receive them if we're going to help them. How's a person going to go from believing this to believing clearly what the scripture teaches? I don't think you can eat this. I don't think you can eat this. And you teach and you share the word, and through the Spirit of God and the word of God, the eyes are open, the understanding's open. And then they say, okay, let's go get a steak. Or a ham in more particular. Ham steak together. Amen. A woman from our home church in Bethel Baptist, Mrs. Hamilton, she's actually recovering from heart surgery right now. She got saved out of Catholicism. And for years, they didn't eat meat on Fridays. Anybody get out of that before? She was taught something. When you're taught something, your conscience is taught something. Now, whether what they're teaching is right or wrong, you feel guilty. You feel, amen? When your conscience is taught something. So she got saved, and for the longest time, she had a hard time going against her conscience. She had a knowledge. By the way, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She had a knowledge, and that knowledge actually restricted her from the liberty that she really had. She got saved. She still didn't eat meat and so on. She got into the scriptures, got taught the script. Before you know it, that she was weak in faith. She became strong in faith through the scriptures to realize, okay, I understand now. And I think she enjoys meat now on Fridays. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for the time and the opportunity we have, Lord, to focus on one another. Lord, if we are going to love one another, we're going to have to receive one another. We're going to have to, Lord, be wise concerning one another and our personal opinions and so on. And I'll be honest with you, as far as I know, Lord, from fellowshipping in this church, I believe that there are people that do hold different opinions, but they're hold them very respectfully. And I thank you for that. Because the minor things that we have differences on that make no difference, if we put them aside, we can encourage one another and strengthen one another about things that matter. Lord, help us to love one another. Help us to receive one another to the glory of God. Bless our break time, Lord, before our service begins in 20 minutes. In Jesus' name, amen.